3, 2, 1. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the gospel lesson. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So what happens when those who follow Jesus get things wrong? It's important for us to pay close attention to that as we read the scriptures. It's important as we watch the lives of men and women and even children pass before our eyes who walked with Jesus, who followed after Jesus. It's important for us to pay attention to what happened when they stumbled and fell and struggled. For the stories we read in the scriptures do not tell us that the people that followed Jesus, that listened to God's word, that trusted his promises, were perfect. Just the opposite. From the prophets and kings and the patriarchs all the way to the apostles and prophets, we find people who are exposed as sinners, or even as Paul, referring to himself, says he is the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners. The purpose of telling these stories, without coloring them, or as we say today, spinning them, so that the people look good, so that the message gets some credibility from the lives of the people who follow Jesus. Now that's a horrid thought. That is a heretical thought. There's so many things to say about that. It's hard to even not get lost in all of the different tangents you could go on. But this text that we have, this Bible, the things that Jesus was going to teach these men, that he taught them in this text for today, it's not a story about a bunch of people who did really well and were a blessing to the world by virtue of their behavior and their actions and so on. But the message was about him, the only one without sin, the only one who could pay the debt for the sins of the world, God and man in the flesh. The whole of the Bible preaches Christ, as Luther says. The paper, the wood, if you will, that makes the pages and so on, is nothing more than the creche for Christ. And so it is important for us to pay attention as Jesus, the Lamb of God, opens our minds to understand the word. We often think of our lives as Christians as some sort of test. We leave the church and think, you know, well, I've got to go out and be a this kind of person or that kind of person. And it seems so burdensome and so tiresome. And oh, I think sometimes we think, well, if I just got free of it, life would get much better. The scriptures are very clear about that. Futility, foolishness, those are words that characterize the lives of people who walk away from Christ. But we often characterize our lives in the church as some sort of test. And when we do that, when we ask ourselves, how am I doing? I'm automatically tempted to compare myself to others. Well, I'm better than those people, and look at those people. They hardly do what they're supposed to do. We look at them, and we say, well, they're pretty messed up. It makes us feel better. In fact, we spend an inordinate amount of time in our culture today trying to find out all the dirt. We have what's called 24-hour news. I think it's just 24-hour muckraking. Even when it leads us to be ashamed of our own behavior, of ourselves, when we say to ourselves, I can't believe that I did that, the Lord looks at you and goes, why not? Paul says, I'm the worst of all sinners. I don't know anybody worse than me. How in the world could I even think like that? Think about how the disciples must have felt. They had sat with Jesus and discussed among themselves in front of him which of them was going to be the greatest. And of course, he reminded them by washing their feet and then telling them that they would all scatter. And Peter said, no, I will never scatter. I will never deny you, even if all of these people do that. And of course, here they are the day of resurrection. After Jesus told them they would all desert, they would all leave. And here he is. They don't know what to make of him at first. They were terrified, as people are, when something happens that they don't expect, something beyond the realm of normal, following the rules of nature. He stands before them and he shows them who he is. He eats some food, and then they are filled with joy. And then comes the lesson. You see, they had failed the test, if you will, if you want to say it was a test. Sometimes people today think of tests as being things that are not so good, things that are difficult to deal with, you know, especially because we want everybody to get an A, and we want this to be Lake Wobegon, where everybody's above average. Everybody's above average. But tests are wonderful tools, and they help us to see where our weaknesses are. These men were hiding in an upper room. They were terrified of the Jews because they had seen that the Jews were not afraid to use death in order to solve their problems. They were terrified and frightened, and then overwhelmed with joy. And then Jesus came and he said, now let me teach you some things. Jesus came into their midst as he does for all who have stumbled into sin. It's a fascinating thing. When we talk about having church or not having church, most of us miss it because we're not here. I'm preaching to effectively an empty church. We miss it. But the reality is, we miss Christ. You see, he comes to us just as he promised he would, even as we bring into this building a load of sin, a mess. Or perhaps, as it's more liturgically proper to think about, if the baptismal font was outside the door in the narthex, we would say we leave our dirt out there. We remember that we were baptized. We remember that we're God's child. We remember and we take heart. We remember our baptism, and so we come in and we confess our sins, and God says, okay, I know you've got all sorts of things on your mind, but I want to talk to you. I want to teach you some things. Even though you failed over the last week. Jesus came into their midst as he does for all who have stumbled into sin. And he does what he always does. We heard about this early on in Epiphany and in other times. He always uses the word. When he fought against the devil, he said, Scripture says. In Mark chapter 1, it says, let us go to other towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. For this purpose, to preach, to proclaim the word. For that's the preaching. This is the sword of the Spirit. It's the power of God unto salvation. And then when we heard Paul make clear last week over and over again that the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross, is where God's power is exercised. Even as Christ, the Word of God incarnate, does his work on sinners. The Lord comes into the midst of the disciples who had all failed preaching. These are the words, he says. We forget that it's impossible for human beings to understand or believe the gospel, to believe the word. Oh, we know the law, and we play around with that all day long. But the gospel is a mystery. The gospel has to be revealed. It has to be preached, and the Holy Spirit must do the work of bringing us to faith. Jesus taught the disciples, especially when faced with many who were leaving him in John chapter 6, when it looked like only a few would stick around, and even Jesus asked them, are you going to leave too? That only God can create faith. Those who the Father gives me, he says in John chapter 6, verses 44 and following. Those whom the Father teaches. So the Son comes to those who had fallen, surrounded by those who were enemies, and he preaches to them. Not that they had failed to pass the test, but that he had passed the tests, the temptations. Without sin. He did not fail. He was the only perfect man. He lived a perfect life for us. He paid our debt in full. And that is what he reminded them of, pointing to his wounds, but then pointing to the scriptures and says, this is what has been proclaimed about me. This is what the scriptures have taught from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And he opened their hearts and their minds to understand the scriptures so that they and all of us might know where to fix our hearts and minds at difficult times like this. He opened their hearts and minds to understand the scriptures. And he promised us that we would receive the Holy Spirit when we came to faith. And the Holy Spirit would teach us everything. And so when we come with our sins to this place, the Lord doesn't say, you failed the test, get out of here. He says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I have done the work. And I will continue to speak my words into your ears and into your heart so that you might understand, so that you might believe, so that you might have faith and never doubt. Even after the failure, the disciples, this failure, you would think, okay, we're never going to do this again. We're never going to stumble again. But they did. And the Bible bears witness to that. Just as he bears witness, as the Holy Spirit inspires this, there's not a church in the scriptures where Jesus doesn't say, I have this against you. You've got some problems. You're not everything is healthy. Let's get back to the word. Let's hear the word so that you can be brought around to seeing why that sin is of no value, of no good for you, and that I have everything that is good, that I have done all of the work so that you might be shaped and formed into my image, and that you would receive all that God wants you to have, every good and perfect thing. Even after the failure, their lack of understanding, he still then intends to send them out as witnesses and messengers. How different than the world we live in. Today, if you happen to have said something the wrong way on social media, you need to pay somebody to go find that and erase it, deal with it. If you've ever said something wrong, done something wrong, looked at something wrong, somebody might know what you've done. And of course, that would mean that you're of no value, but not in Christ's kingdom. You are going to go out as my witnesses. You men who were hiding, you men who felt guilty. You see, their message, our message, does not get any credibility from our life. It gets its credibility from the life, the only life, that could do what is necessary for us. As Paul stated, their message is from one sinner to another. It's a worthy, faithful statement, Paul says, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, I am the chief. Not I was, but I am. For Paul sees his failings even after 4 missionary journeys. And yet God set him apart as an apostle, we heard on Easter. The least of the apostles. The one who persecuted the church. They could all go out into the world with courage, knowing that God would give them all that they needed. And of course, Jesus at the end of this text tells them that God would work a sign as they began their ministry on the day of Pentecost, as they really began to do that work. They would receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, prophesied in Joel chapter 2. This would be a sign that Jesus had come to the Jews and to all who bothered to read the prophets. There comes this special revelation of the Holy Spirit. Fire, speaking in tongues, that would confirm their preaching, as it did for Peter and those who were there on that day when 3,000 came to believe. Many would come to hear and believe that God desires all to be saved. The Lord continues to do what he did with the disciples each time you open your Bible, whether it's in church or it's at home. He opens our minds. When you have failed, when you didn't pass the test, the Lord will continue to lead you to look and leave your sins at the cross with Christ, to believe he did pay for them once and for all, and that you can therefore go forth and tell the world about a man who told you everything you ever did because he became acquainted with them on the cross and paid for everything you ever said and did. So that you too would, when you struggle, when you have failed, wouldn't run away from the church. Wouldn't think that God's word to you would be, get out of here. But you'd come running to Christ, who died and rose again, so that he might open your minds to understand the word of life. Amen.